Satanism and Communism by Richard Wurmbrand. Appendix. Can Communism be Christian? Marxist Christian Theology. Ernesto Cardenal is a Catholic priest who is a self-avowed communist and was active in the communist government of Nicaragua. He is also one of the most prominent exponents of so-called liberation theology, which exists within both Catholicism and Protestantism, and seeks to blend Christianity with communism. Here are a few excerpts from his book, The Zero Hour. A world of perfect communism is the kingdom of God on earth. They are the same thing for me. Through the gospel, I have arrived at revolution, not through Karl Marx, but through Christ. The gospel caused me to become a Marxist. I have the calling of a poet and prophet. Castro told me that the qualities of a good revolutionist are also qualities of a good priest. Let us not forget that the first Christians were the best Christians, revolutionary and subversive Christians. Marxism is the fruit of Christianity. Without Christianity, Marxism would be impossible. Marx would be unthinkable without the prophets of the Old Testament. Changing the system of production, we can create the new man of the gospel. The Mexican Jesuit Jose Miranda says in his book, Karl Marx and the Bible and the Ten Commandments are Marxist. Even the first commandment to love God, for him to love Jehovah above all. If the church ever asserted anything else, it was a monstrosity. I believe that the communists too belong to the church. I believe the true church includes many who don't perceive themselves as Christians, even those who consider themselves atheists. Many of these belong more to church than some who sits in the Roman Curia. Since Constantine, the church has always gone to bed with the state. If Christians and Marxists would reach each other's writings, there would be no conflicts anymore between Christians and socialism. It seems to me that worker priests and revolutionists, the most progressive part of the church, are inspired directly by the Holy Ghost. For me, the God of the Bible is also the God of Marxism, Leninism. The Apostle John says no one has seen God. What the atheist Marxist says is very much akin to what St. John says, no one has seen God. Another writer quotes Cardinal as follows, I am above all a revolutionist, and as such fight for a socialist country, which is in the course of passing through a dictatorship of the proletariat, and which surely it cannot show itself feeble toward the enemy of its fatherland, not even in moments when one comes to the point of having to execute men for this purpose. It is self-evident that a man who thinks like this has put no trust has no doubt praising the regime in Cuba as a model of liberty. Liberation theology is not an isolated phenomena. It is a byproduct of a general tendency to synthesize Marxism and Christianity. It is also seen in various forms of compromise in politics, arts, economics, and so on. Two Jews, Bernstein and Schwartz, composed the musical, The Mass, for the inauguration of John Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts in Washington in 1971. In it, during the singing of Kyrie Eleison, the Gloria, and the Credo, a band of singers and dancers held their doubts. God made us the boss. God gave us the cross. We turned it into sword to spread the word of the Lord. We use his holy decrees to do whatever we please. Yay. Give us peace that we don't keep on breaking. Give us something or we'll just start taking. We're fed up with your heavenly silence and we only get action with violence. The Christian multimillionaires present at the concert cheered. Their wives, appareled in slit skirts and decollete bodices, bejeweled and befurred, joined in the applause. The music is now standard repertoire. I can understand men like the priest Cardinal. There is a ring of truth in the feeling he expresses of solidarity with the communists, who appear to him as champions of the cause of the poor, always near to the heart of Christians. In the Bible, Job is called a righteous man. He describes to his dubious friends the program of his life. I delivered the poor that cried and the fatherless and him that had none to help him. I was a father to the poor and the cause which I knew not I searched out. And I broke the jaws of the wicked and plucked the spoil out of his teeth. Job 29:12-17. These words could be uttered by any revolutionist. Job continues, did I not weep for him that was in trouble? Was not my soul grieved for the poor? Job 30:25. If I did despise the cause of manservant or my maidservant when they contend with me, what then shall I do when God raises me up? Job 31:13-14. True believers have always reacted like this. Cardinal's assertion that the church has always gone to bed with the state is untrue. For example, the War of Secession in the U.S., which led to the abolition of slavery, was influenced by Uncle Tom's Cabin, written by a Christian lady, Harriet Beecher Stowe. She simply said the Lord wrote it. During a communion service, she had a vision of an old slave being beaten to death by a white ruffian. This became the story of Uncle Tom's flogging. The book was a stick of dynamite driven into the foundations of slavery. Charles Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher of the last century, was also an ardent fighter against slavery. He wrote, "If slavery is not wrong, nothing is wrong." Wilberforce, a Christian and a capitalist, caused slavery to be abolished in the British Empire long before the American Civil War. Lincoln, also a Christian, issued the Emancipation Proclamation that freed the slaves in the U.S. The theology of liberation, which ignores these facts, is widely urged in the Third World. Its theoreticians can call themselves Christian only because of the chaos and thinking prevalent in the church at this moment. According to the July 28, 1949 decree of the Holy Office of the Roman Catholic Church, the following categories of Catholics are to be excommunicated: whoever belongs to the Communist Party, whoever makes propaganda for it in any way, whoever votes for it and its candidates, whoever writes for the communist press, reads and spreads it, whoever remains a member in a communist organization, whoever confesses the materialistic and anti-Christian teachings of atheist communism, whoever defends and spreads it. This punishment applies also to parties that make common cause with communism. Many of the revolutionist theologians belong only formally to the Catholic Church and yet have a great influence among believers. In the Orthodox Church, too, there exists a tendency to exploit for the benefit of communism the spiritual energies that religion awakens and channels. Liberation theologians proclaim an earthly paradise. Communism is the paradise. Capitalism is its foe. The Church no longer waits for the coming of Jesus in the clouds of heaven. The triumph of communism will be equated with his coming. This explains why in communist countries, the God-hating communist government has paid the clergy. It needs to be said that among both Catholics and Orthodox, there are also bishops who fear absorption into earthly pursuits and seek rather a deeper spiritual life. Not all have bowed to Baal. As for Protestants, in hearings before the USA House Committee on Un-American Activities on February 26, 1966, Richard Ahrens, general counsel to the committee, declares, "Thus far in the leadership of the National Council of Churches, we have found over 100 persons in leadership capacity with either communist front records or records of service in communist causes. The aggregate affiliations of the leadership is in the thousands. And the World Council of Churches for years has subsidized communist guerrillas in Africa." The Catholic Gustavo Gutierrez wrote in The Theology of Liberation, "The church must place itself squarely within the process of revolution." The Lutheran theologian Dorothea Sole, founder of Christians for Socialism, wrote, "We are at the beginning of a new chapter in Christian history. It will not be written without Karl Marx." These are the facts, open and uncontested, about what is happening in the Church Universal. We do not heed the warning of the Lord to beware of wolves in sheep's clothing. If the clothing speaks to us about doing good to mankind, we get hooked, forgetting that the worst of men can speak beautiful things. German socialists in 1907 opened their convention with Luther's hymn, "A mighty fortress replacing God with a socialist league." Some revolutionist groups practiced baptism. One called for new communion services at which the pastor would proclaim, "This is the body of the bread which the rich owe to the poor." Revolutionist groups spoke of the Holy Communist Church, the egalitarian church outside of which there is no salvation. Their Lord's Prayer says, "No masters and no servants. Amen. Money and property shall be abolished." St. James Billington, Fire in the Minds of Men, Basic Books, 1985. The devil disguises himself as an angel of light. When the communists came to power, unprecedented slaughters followed, which eclipsed even Hitler's Holocaust. Clergymen who had been on the side of communism also became its victims. If communism would conquer the countries of the Third World, the theologians of liberation would sit in jail together with those who oppose this ideology. Perfect communism, kingdom of God on earth. Cardinal says, "Communism and the kingdom of God are the same thing for me." The word communism is in itself vague. It is taken to mean only an economic system in which everyone will work according to his abilities and will receive according to his needs. There will be no state, no division of the world into countries, and no social classes, because the means of production will belong to all mankind. Suppose this could be attained, where is God in the picture? Why should this be equated with the kingdom of God? A society of unbelievers, even of men who hate and scorn God, could choose or be forced to live in such a state. Scripture says that when the kingdom is the Lord's, all the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. Psalm 22:27. The kingdom of God will not be a stateless society. The people of the states of the Most High will have dominion over it. Daniel 7:27. It is not a kingdom brought about by a political party, but by Jesus, Son of Man. Matthew 16:28. Obviously, there will be none of the evils that plague society now, such as war, famine, pestilence, pollution, injustice, exploitation, racism, etc. The kingdom of God will be one of righteousness, peace, love, joy, and the right to possess one's own mansion and garden. John 14:2. Father Cardinal, who claims that he is a prophet, must know that his biblical predecessor, Micah, said in the last days, they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree. Micah 4:4-4. The prophet Isaiah reinforces this idea. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. Isaiah 65:22. Thus, scripture endorses the notion of private ownership. What would perfect communism look like in reality? Perfection, as we humans experience it, is the ultimate achievement of years of practice in the fields of sports, music, typing, or skills of any sort. A violinist perfects his performance of a Beethoven concerto by practicing his violin. A baseball pitcher achieves success by refining his technique through intensive, persistent effort. Perfect communism, described as economic liberation, freedom, peace, and justice, could be attained only through the practice of such policies in the society it hopes to benefit. But in actual experience, communists have jailed, tortured, and terrorized hundreds of millions of people for almost 70 years. How could such practice result in just, mild, and loving society? Christian communism is a utopian impossibility, a nightmare of exploitation. The theology of revolution is a patent absurdity, a contradiction in terms. What fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part he that believes with an infidel? 2 Corinthians 6:14-15. You cannot serve God and mammon, says Jesus Christ. Choose this day whom you will serve. Living Sacrifice Book Company, P.O. Box 2273, Bartlesville, Oklahoma, 74005-2273. I wish to avenge myself against the one who rules above. The idea of God is the keynote of a perverted civilization. It must be destroyed. Karl Marx. He began life in a God-fearing family. It is documented that he was once a Christian. But a drastic change at some point in his life led Karl Marx to a deep personal rebellion against God and all Christian values. Eventually, he became a Satan worshiper who regularly participated in occult practices and habits. By examining Marx's poetry, plays, correspondence, and biographical account, Richard Brumbrand builds a convincing case for Marx's undeniably satanic preference. Marx's own statement exposes himself as a hater of God and therefore a hater of God's creatures, those who have suffered under Marxism and communism. Brumbrand, who was imprisoned for 14 years in Europe for his outspoken views against communism, urges Christians not to be duped by Marxism's benevolent disguise as a merely political or economic theory. He reveals the true root of Marxist thinking so that Christians will recognize the evil therein and stand against it. Having been a prisoner of the communist government in Romania, the Reverend Richard Brumbrand has thoroughly researched this subject and seen its effects firsthand. He and his wife founded Jesus to the Communist World to help Christians who suffered at the hands of communism and Marxism. Brumbrand has over a dozen books in print here in Europe, among them Be Cared for Christ, 100 Prison Meditations Where Christ Still Suffers, and Answer to the Moscow Atheists.